and welcome to Frontier Fiction, an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We are coming to you all the way from the frozen north. It's really frozen right now. Mm. It's not easy to stay sane in Alaska, so we get together with one of our favorite pastimes so that the voices in our heads out to play. I'm Anna, and I'm playing Maeve.
Hi.
I'm Veda, and I'm playing Solana.
I'm Wacy, playing Dacian.
I'm Colton, I'm playing the DM, and Zeb's taking a break tonight, so we will not hear his dulcet tones, maybe for this episode and possibly the next one, as we try something a little bit different. So, in the desire to get together, even with scheduling issues and create content, instead of keeping the story going, even though we could do that, we decided to stop, put a pause on everything, and refresh our minds and our imaginations with a little bit of a one shot, which is what we're going to do tonight. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. I like killing things.
So we're going to imagine, if you will, a little pseudo-universe in which your guys' characters, because it's always fun to try out your player characters in a different setting, in a different world, so they don't know each other. They are as mighty as they are in this moment on your character sheets. They are pretty much the same, except for they are sans any equipment. You just don't have any equipment. What you are wearing instead, your inventory for tonight will be some shackles, which are placed around your arms, kind of holding them together. They're actually wooden, and they're like clamped over your arms with a large deadbolt lock. And you would think that that would be a tremendous nuisance. But actually, as you guys escaped the slave ship that you were on, they were your greatest asset, because all the other slaves that managed to get their shackles off sunk and drowned pretty quickly in the storm. But you, who were unable to remove your shackles, floated to the surface just a little bit better by the aid of the 2x4s, basically, that are stuck to your arms. That was all exciting, well, and good. And you thought you were going to meet your very end, when suddenly, splash this way and that, catching a glimpse now and then maybe of some large dark mass in the ocean, or the crack of thunder revealing what might look like a fiery ship's mast far away, you feel sand underneath your toes, and then it disappears, and that little promise of life is gone. And then again, as the waves roll, again you feel sand, and this time your knees buckle out underneath you as you kind of crash into it, and you can feel it scrape and scratch against your legs, and then the wave deposits you onto some sort of a sandbar. And looking up, the three of you, all within about eyesight of each other in the currents of the ocean, look up at a large tropical looking island. It's very hot and humid, which is kind of odd for us from Alaska to picture, because it's raining and blowing like crazy, which sounds like a cold time, but it's actually miserably hot in the darkness. Your faces are soaking wet, your hands are pruny, you can feel the sand sticking into your pores as you claw at the dirt and pull yourselves towards the shore. And everybody give me a constitution saving throw.
23. 16. Oh, wait, sorry. 26.
Okay, so two of you are doing quite well, and then Veda, Solana also in this situation is not doing very bad at all. You are able to, after a moment of catching your breath, it's just amazing how exhausting it is to keep your head over the water for an extended period of time, and it's almost as though you've never felt the weight of your body against the ground before. As you stand up, your legs feel heavy, your balance feels like a long forgotten memory, and at long last you're able to kind of come to your hands and knees, and you each stand up and are left looking at each other, almost just silhouettes in the darkness. There's a pale blue sky that's kind of churning with clouds, the occasional thundercrack, and then this ominous silhouette of island foliage before you at the back of this white, presumably white, sandy beach. The elements are your biggest enemy right now. Out of the warm water, you can feel the wind chilling your skin. You can feel the exposure robbing you of heat, robbing you of nutrients, and being caustic, abrasive. So you have to think about survival. What do you guys do?
Maeve would slog out of the sea as best as possible and try to head towards the any shelter that she could see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heading for the foliage off the beach away from the wind.
Mm-hmm. Daisy, and you see these two figures kind of half stumbling forward towards the tree line where presumably the wind is less aggressive. You can see almost as you grow closer the palm leaves on the top of the trees are just beating this way and that in a deafening roar that's caused by all of the greenery moving about in the jungle.
Dacian would look to see if there was anything else that washed up on shore briefly.
Yeah.
Anything useful before he headed that direction as well.
Do you have dark vision?
No.
Does anybody have dark vision?
I do.
You do?
I think I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give me a perception check with disadvantage as you scan the beach, Mr. Cassian.
Yeah. Five?
Yeah, five. You put a pin in that thought because it is obviously a very good idea, and you decide in the gray masses of everything beneath the skyline that is what you're on and about that you're not going to be able to pick out anything useful in the dark.
Okay.
Yeah. And Maeve, give me a perception check also with disadvantage, please.
8.
An 8. You can see the silhouette of the skyline, but you cannot see anything that resembles a man-made structure or anything that would represent like a lean-to or a windbreak other than just the tree line, which is a large, black, monstrous blob in front of you. Mm-hmm. As you guys grow closer, Solana, in the you can see sand is actually kicking this way and that in the wind. It's blowing so hard. And you can see the occasional just like piece of grass or tuft of fuzzy organic matter from trees just kind of blowing. All the undergrowth is getting lifted up and thrown as the leaf blower hits this island. But you're scanning the tree line and you're not seeing any. It's almost like a wall. It's very thick, but there's these little cavities underneath the trunks where water presumably flows, where small creatures could move about. And where all the trees, which are fighting desperately, all the leaves, the trees, the bushes, desperately to reach the air and the sun better than their neighbors at their feet, at their roots. There are little places to crawl or in the more open areas, perhaps to stoop and walk through. Getting closer to that, if you guys kneeled and crawled forward into the dense overgrowth, then you could get into the tree line. Other than that, you'll be fighting the bushes and the trees and the trunks themselves, which you can do.
Probably definitely crawling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys crawl in through the tree line. How deep do you go? How far do you go?
Dacian would probably come up to it and attempt to break his shackles so that he could get his arms apart on a tree. Before he actually starts crawling in there, and then he probably wouldn't go super far.
Okay.
He'd look for the closest thing to just shelter behind and then
stop moving. So there's metal rings around your wrist in these, bolted to the wood. Then there's the metal shackle on the end, which is like padlocked shut, but the rest of it literally is just like a big fat, board.
Okay.
And it's waterlogged somewhat, and it was used when you obtained it, as you can tell by the dead skin around the inside and the blood stains on it and how it's worn on all the edges, no longer crisp, clean cut edges. So you take it up to the nearest tree and you're just going to try to overhead smash it.
Yeah.
Okay. It'll be a little hard on your wrists if you're not careful, but you can go ahead and give me a strength check.
Okay. 8.
An 8. You pound it against this tree trunk. The tree doesn't really waver at all, and there's a nice hollow kind of clunk sound as this board glances off of it. You can feel a little stress in your wrists, like, that's not something I want to do 8 or 10 times. But as far as damage to the board, it doesn't appear at this time to be doing any worse.
Okay.
Yeah. In the dark, it's really hard to tell.
Thinking to himself that he's too tired for this, he just keeps crawling.
Okay. So how far do you guys go into the tree line?
I wouldn't go very far. I'd just be crawling in a few feet, and then I would also try to get my shackles off.
Mm-hmm.
I would also hit them against a tree or anything solid that I could find first.
Sure. There's no shortage of trees here. There's an abundance of tree trunks, and they're wide. I mean, some of them are so wide that you could easily, like, walk around the back of them and, like, not be certain where your companions are, like how far to keep walking around the tree before you're going to run into them again, like 8-10 feet wide. Go ahead and give me a strength check.
16.
So you lift this high over your head. You think about beating it against the tree long ways, and then you think better and you kind of back up and brace your wrists as best you can, trusting in their hardiness, in your oaties, in your milk every morning. And you kind of rush forward at this tree and shove. And it bends a little bit, and you think it's not going to go as you're shoving forward really hard. And then you feel the slightest splinters. And then it breaks with kind of a tremendous sound in half. It doesn't snap, but the timbers are splintered like crazy, and they're now loose. With many, many small spiky splinters pointing kind of towards you, with some back and forth leverage going back and forth and back and forth. You should be able to split these two pieces apart, and you'll have two spiky pieces of wood stuck to your hands.
Perfect. I would, like, put it on the ground and step on it and yank it apart and with, like, a kind of a scream. Got it, meddlesome thing.
Okay, yeah, you do that. And you work it back and forth against kind of a root, stepping on one side, and then the other pulls your shoulder down awkwardly as you step, and then you pull on one side until finally, at long last, it just pops in half, and now your hands, while shackled still, are not bound together.
Perfect.
Yeah, that wind is still kind of moving through the trees pretty heavily. It's very loud. Like, even your shout is almost lost in just this torrential, tremendous noise of a typhoon. And everything that you can see, hear, smell, or think is wet, just soaking wet. And it's not even just rainwater, it's salt water picked right up off the ocean and splashed heartily over everything.
As soon as Solana felt relief from the wind, she would stop and just try to sleep. Okay. Not wanting to move anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right. So if you would like to try to sleep here, first of all, let me ask, you guys see Solana, who you do not know, pause and curl up and try to, looks like, get some rest. At the base of a tree with some bushes on one side as the wind break, wet. There's not free running water. All of the dense undergrowth just sucks up the water that's falling like crazy. In a very thirsty and organic way. But she curls up and goes to sleep. Do you guys choose to, or tries to go to sleep? We'll see. Do you guys choose to stay here and stick together, or do something else?
Not knowing what the island is like or what's further down, you would probably find someplace near as well to hunker down till he's rested somewhat and can see what's happening.
Okay.
In case he runs into something that he doesn't like or can't handle.
Okay, Maeve.
Maeve would walk up to Solana and shake her shoulder a little bit and go, "Hey, hey."
She just startles back and blinks. Doesn't really want to say anything.
What's your name?
It's Solana.
What's your business?
sleeping.
All right. Checks out.
What's yours? Daisy yells back at Maeve.
Staying alive, hopefully. It's the goal.
Your name's staying alive.
That was my business.
Oh. What's your name?
What's yours?
Dacian.
Maeve.
Insight checks.
Oh, wow. That's...
yeah.
To see if they're lying.
13.
Mm-hmm.
16.
Mm-hmm.
24.
All right. Mm-hmm. I would say that Dacian, you're fairly certain that everything you heard is true. Maeve and Solana, you're thinking, well, if this guy is lying, it's a very practiced lie. Like, he always gives that name. Yeah. And honestly, in this predicament, there's little purpose to lie, except that it would be a terrible shame to be marooned on some island with someone who could be an enemy. So perhaps personal questions are dangerous.
Well, I'm fine either way, but I just gotta know right here before we get too separated, is this a together endeavor or are we going our own way?
Have either of you been on this island before?
Never.
Nope.
You guys have no idea what island this is. Yeah.
Then we have no idea what's on this island. Because I've never been here either.
It's kind of what I was leaning towards as well.
And to be quite frank...
I thought you were facing.
When facing unknown animal dangers or creatures, it is kind of nice to have more people, if for no other reason than because some can run faster than others.
The devil you know better the devil that you don't.
Well, you guys are a bunch of unknown creatures to me, so I don't know how I feel.
Well, you seem like you're comfortable enough to try to sleep.
Nope.
Not anymore, huh?
It's pretty windy.
Together? For a little bit, anyway?
Try it out.
Okay. For a little bit.
Nods.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay. Are you guys going to try to sleep?
Solana will, yeah.
Okay. Why don't you give me... a constitution saving throw.
Fifteen?
Mm-hmm. You got a 15. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, it is a miserable night for you. Absolutely miserable. But you are able to complete a rest. So, you're not going to suffer from failing to sleep for the night. You're hungry. And that's going to need to be sorted out. But... you are not failing to rest. What about you two?
Dacian's going to use the shackles that are still on him to try to dig a trench in the ground to lay in to get below the wind a mm-hmm. little bit more.
Okay. So you're going to dig it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead and give me a... this would be a survival check for sure.
15? Yep.
All right. So you make a trench and put some foliage up on either side a little bit. There's no dirt. It's like just sand. dense undergrowth. And okay. you presume there's sand underneath it. But again, you're a little worried. It seems like water's running everywhere kind mm-hmm. of a little bit. But it is, again, just getting drank right up by the earth. And you have this ditch. It's not too cold. You're out of the wind. And so you can give me a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
For the night.
5.
So, unfortunately, as the night goes on, you are awoken by what appear to be insects that are in the earth. Just, they are the earth. Everything is moving, torrential, and like, you feel them, they're down your drawers, they're up your shirt, there's like one in your nose, you freak out, and you get up, and you look down in this hole you're in, and it's just like teeming. just teeming. Yep, you can feel everything moving, and just a horrendous, horrendous experience. So you ditch your hole, and you kind of sleep up against a tree instead as best you can, and it's not a good night's sleep.
Okay.
It is not. So go ahead and somewhere mark down. Well, you know what? I've got a nice fresh piece of paper here.
Okay.
Dacian. Got one day, no rest. And Maeve.
Maeve would be doing as much scouting around the immediate area as she can. Mm. Probably looking just for the terrain, seeing if she can see any landmarks, climb any trees.
You could try to climb a tree. Underneath the surface of the tree line, all you see are vague, dark shapes. Like you're more listening to your companions here than you were seeing them in the darkness.
Cool.
You want to try to climb a tree? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. That would be definitely an athletics check.
Wonderful.
Oof, that's a...
That was a bummer.
Yep.
Seven.
A seven?
With a plus four.
Yeah. So you're kind of looking around the immediate area, which feeling around, really. You don't want to lose your companions in the darkness. And the trees are very wide. So you try. They have kind of these like ringlets around them that you can get your fingers kind of over, but they're not something you can get your fingers in. And you think it's wet. It's a little spongy. Pieces fall off as you grab onto it. You get 5-6 feet in the air, and you're like, ah, like you're looking up at the tremendous tree line, and you're like, if I fell from up there, it would be a problem all the way down. And my companions could hear me fall a good ways and hit the ground. So you kind of give up about halfway. Pretty certain that you would not be able to make it to the top. Scouting around the immediate area, you're not seeing any thinner trees. There are some bushes, nothing that's going to support your weight or get you anywhere near high enough to see over the trees.
Do I find anywhere more comfortable, more sheltered?
Go ahead and give me a survival check with disadvantage in the dark.
Well, that's going to be that. Five.
A five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, you do not. Are you going to try and sleep through the night?
Yeah, she would try to come back around where her new companions are and find a dry-ish place.
Yeah, you are like almost concerned that you lost them in the darkness. You're like a little too worried socially about shouting out or crying out since they're potentially asleep. And you're like, well, I'll probably find them in the morning. And then all of a sudden you hear this kind of like, ah, ah, and rustling and just like slap, 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 slap. As Dacian does the ant dance.
He'd probably grumpily kick his hole back in, too.
Maeve would stay, like, an ant's radius away from the insect pile. Maybe go on the other side of Solana, where she's sleeping, and try to sleep through the night.
Okay. Constitution saving throw.
20.
You kind of set up against this tree. You're in a sitting position. Your head kind of dips down low, and it's not comfortable, but you sleep well, and you rest, and you don't sleep uninterrupted throughout the night or anything. It's not like a sweet dream situation, but you feel stiff. You don't feel any younger when you wake up, but you feel as though you have saved some of the energy that you could have accidentally expended over the night. At the very least, you're hungry when you wake up. And everybody's cold a bit and tired. And you can see this kind of orange glow in the sky start to form. But it is still blowing. It is still windy and wet and very loud everywhere. There's just the slightest purple hues and orange in the sky that is speaking of a false confidence in a beautiful day.
Well, I see we got two options. We can go back to the beach and see if we can find any other in ways into these trees, or we can head further on into the forest and see if it gets more sheltered.
I want to head back to the beach line and, or shoreline and see if there's anything that washed up that might be useful. But first I want to get these annoying things. He looks at his hands. off. Mm. And he lays it. He finds a couple of trees close together and rests his the board up against, in between the two of them, mm-hmm. up against him.
Yeah.
Lays on his back and pushes against the center of it with his feet to try to snap it.
Okay, sure. Go ahead and give me a strength check. Different way.
17.
17?
Yep.
Yeah, so it bends, and that all that stored kinetic energy makes you a little nervous, but you're like, whatever, got to get this thing off. You push more, and then it buckles a bit, and you hear kind of a... And then finally goes... And it starts to pop and give and gets easier and easier and easier as you push it. And finally, just the fibrous kind of tendons in the middle of this plank are holding it together. And with a bit of back and forth action, you're able to snap them apart.
Perfect. So does he have a couple fairly long or shorter sections of wood?
Yeah, so it's probably like 2 feet wide.
Okay.
Total. So each one's... like a foot wide now.
Okay.
Seeing that worked for Daisy and Solon would try to do the same thing to get hers broken.
Sure, you go to the same spot and you set it up and you get ready to push. Go ahead and give me a strength check.
Okay. Three.
Three?
Sweet Solon.
You guys are kind of teasing your wrists a little bit and looking at these things and wondering how it's going to work out to go about, you know, figuring out how to survive with them on. And then you just hear like a... and look down and you see Solana is trying to wedge her knees against this plank in the same position, not having much luck, red in the face, just pushing. Yeah.
Maeve's going to shake her head a little bit and be like, hold on. But then she's going to get down and find like some of the wettest, thickest foliage she can, and she's going to shove it around her wrists where the metal is, mm-hmm. and then she's going to use her firebolt cantrip to burn off the rest of the wooden shackle on one end.
All right. So what does that look like? Your arms are freed up now, so you can speak, and your hands can move apart from each other, so you can cast firebolt.
She's going to put the arm that she packed with foliage like down on the ground, and then she's going to put her other one up way up in the air, kind of like a windmill scenario, and then she's going to shoot a firebolt from her one hand onto her other hand.
Alright, so you're just shooting the wood on your arm with the firebolt.
Yep.
Okay. So I can tell you this. Firebolts can be used to damage and like break things. Not damaging and breaking yourself, though, in the meantime. I mean, it's like a little bit of an explosion, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of an explosion. The foliage is a good thing. I'm going to say it will raise your AC by plus one, the foliage. So that's good. Okay. But you're going to need to make an attack roll. Against myself. Yourself.
Okay. That's better. Eleven?
11?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the timbers are blown apart. Yeah. They were already kind of held together by the clasps on the side. And so that does the trick, and they're blown to pieces.
How's my hand?
It's okay. You missed yourself. Okay. Your AC is higher than 11, so okay. You did not hit yourself. Yeah. Kind of aim towards the side there. Yep, that hand is free.
Okay. Maeve's going to hold up her, like, smoking hand. Mm-hmm. Does the metal part fall off?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, because it's held together by the wood, so.
She's going to shake free the smoldering wood and want it fall to the earth and shake her smoking hand into the air and cool off. Whew! All right. Who's next?
Decent point at Solana. And goes over to collect the bits of metal to try to use it as a wedge to split things on his self-reverse before Maeve gets that far.
Go ahead. What are you saying to do to break it?
Oh, he's going to use the the metal clasps
from hers
to try to use those as a wedge to split apart the rest of the wood.
Sure. The structural integrity of it is broken and it's designed to open. So go ahead and just give me a strength check.
Okay. Nope.
All right. It's in the breaking process, it is kind of like stuck together.
Okay.
All the splinters have it stuck together. Yeah.
So Lana's gonna try to like frantically break it open just like on a tree by hitting it really quickly before Maeve gets over to her.
It's not working. It's not working. Try harder. Try harder. Thunk, 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 thunk. Your wrists start to hurt and bruise. Yeah, it seems pretty hopeless.
Okay, well, if Maeve's approaching her, she's just gonna kind of close her eyes and stare at them to see what happens.
I think I can only cast Fireball once, so I think you're up.
No, it's a cantrip.
So kidding.
You can do it all day. Yep.
All right. You're ready?
No.
Okay, you're going to probably want to face the other way. So Maeve would, like, position her so she's against a tree and, like, stick her hand through her outstretched arms. So basically Maeve's hands is kind of resting on her chest or almost. So she's pointing away from both of us. I'm just going to shoot.
Okay. So you're shooting... I don't understand. Are you pointing at her or not?
No.
Just the board.
Yes.
Not her.
Yes.
The middle of the board.
Yes. Basically standing behind her, so we're both...
Yeah, no issue then. Go ahead and... Why don't you give me a dexterity saving throw there, Solana?
Okay.
Seems appropriate. Actually, this would be a strength saving throw.
Okay, that's better. 17.
17? All right, yeah. You are not thrown over or harmed by this. It is quite a concussive force in your face, splinters flying away from you. And the board is severed into two pieces.
Aha. Uh-huh. This is better. I don't want to do that again, though.
It's good enough for me. I'm going to shake out her smoky little hands. All right, to the beach.
So, at this point, you've got one hand with a board on it,
right? Yeah. Okay.
Everyone else has two each. Yes. And you guys head towards the beach.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Walking to the beach line. Somebody roll me a d20. Wow, just one of you. Who is it? Who is it?
I rolled first, but that doesn't...
No, okay.
Best.
Let's do this. You all know what numbers you rolled now.
I don't know what they rolled.
So... One of you who wants to be the person who rolls a d20, raise your hand.
I guess no? I'll go then.
All right, roll it, please.
Okay. Nat 20.
Okay. Yeah, here's what you see. You're checking out the up and down, and it seems it curves towards you a little bit. The white sand on either side disappears around the corner of this island. So whatever little peninsula or point you're on curves back towards the larger body of land or smaller body of land, you don't know. All you see in front of you is vast, flat, open, stormy ocean in the purple hue. And all you see behind you is still kind of dark tree line. You can make out more features of it though. Very, very, very thick and moving about violently. But you can see now in the white sand under the dim light that there are rocks here and there. You're pretty sure you see some crabs skittering off. It's hard to say how far up the beach to the right. And to the left, you can see there is what looks like some debris. And there are a couple of vaguely humanoid shapes in the sand.
Is it laying there?
Just laying there.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like there's a few. It's hard to tell. Like, they don't quite add up as far as arms and legs sticking out of the sand. Like, it's difficult to tell at this distance.
Mm. Deacon would grab a couple of good-sized rocks and make a beeline for them.
Okay. Yeah. What are you guys doing?
If Solana saw people lying in the sand, she would book it towards them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maeve is going to trudge behind them.
All right.
Not booking.
Yep. The sand gives way underneath you. Making every step feel like a step and a half of work. The footing is a little treacherous. You make your way forward pretty quickly, barefoot, as it were, in the sand. And you see clearly a head and shoulder and an arm sticking mm-hmm. out. And you can see what looks like an entire person most of the way out of the sand, has not sunken into it very much. And you can also see a third person who's almost completely buried in the sand, and all you can see is like a right flank and a boot sticking out. And as you move closer, you recognize one of these is definitely, they're not even that close to each other. They're all within about 20 yards. Mm-hmm. One of these, it was definitely a slave, and you can see that they're just in slave's clothes. They're okay. Very poorly garbed and no shoes. And you can see the rings around their wrists, which are the telltale sign mm-hmm. Of a slave in the Majestic or the Majestic Navy. Okay. And then you can tell that the other two most certainly were soldiers. You can tell because the boot that's sticking out of the ground is a military issue. And you can tell because the other one is wearing his full, like, raiment and everything. It looks like someone of rank. And they are very still.
Dacian would try to move toward that one, the one of rank.
Mm-hmm.
Being cautious to not, as he moves forward, to not sink in the sand, not sure, because he's not sure how everyone else ended up under there.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Give me a perception check as you move forward.
14.
So, you are walking forward. You don't see anything stir or move. Their chests are not rising or falling. The sand does not behave oddly. Go ahead and give me a survival check.
7,
yeah. You're not sure why they're sunk into the sand.
Okay.
What are you two doing?
So Lana would approach the bodies to see if they were breathing or anything, or if they were dead or not.
Sure. Go ahead and give me a medicine check.
30-20? Yeah.
Okay. You approach the person of rank, and they are cold.
They're cold?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you check the person who's mostly buried, and they are warm, and you pull a little bit. They're not too buried in the sand. It's not too hard to kind of unearth them a little more. And head has been completely underneath the sand for some period of time. Like mouth and nostrils are full of sand, and there's no rising or falling of the chest. It seems very quite asphyxiated or perhaps died beforehand, but you're more likely to suspect that they were unconscious when they washed ashore and weren't able to breathe because their head sunk underneath the surface of the ground. So, yeah.
Okay.
And you can give me a survival check.
Sure. Yeah. Where's the dot? Okay. There's the dot.
Sixes and nines, man.
I know. 12,
okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you suspect, like, if you ever sat on the beach and the waves start to wash in, you start to sink into the sand every mm-hmm. time they do that again, you expect they got deposited there during high tide, and it just washed them down into the sand line.
Okay.
You guys are checking these out, and go ahead, and Dacian, are you, like, inspecting the officer?
Yeah, and stripping him of any gear he has.
Absolutely, so... go ahead and just give me an investigation check.
8.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So you are basically just dressing him down. You instantly recognize that his clothing, while it won't fit you perfectly, mm-hmm. or either of the ladies very well at all, it's a lot better than being mostly exposed to mm-hmm. the elements and slaves' rags. And that includes a jacket and a button-up shirt. The jacket is actually issued for, like, nautical wear purpose and procedure. So it's practical. You can't quite tell what rank he was. Most of the regalia is kind of washed, stripped, or kind of sanded off of it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the standard majestic navy gray with red thread and stitching on it. He probably had a hat, you're assuming, because he's mostly bald and you can see the outline of it in his forehead, which is still quite waterlogged. It's sickening to look at his face. He has a golden earring in his left ear. There is a kind of a belt with some pouches on it around his middle, and that is still fastened and functional. And in the pouches, you see there is some hard tack, which is now soft tack, but possibly has nutrients. It's pretty salted, that's for sure. You find what looks like some gunpowder. It is not usable anymore. It's kind of just the residue around the sides, out of a little pouch. And you find some gold coins, 16 of them. And you pull... there's a brief moment of excitement as you go to roll them over as a scabbard comes up out of the sand, and you can recall seeing these officers wear swords on their side, but the scabbard is empty. You presume possibly ditched to keep his head above the water a little bit longer with a little less weight, and that's disappointing. But however, on his back there is a ship knife, which is it's like a three-quarter tang little cork handled knife with no cross guard on it or guard, and it's just probably like 3-4 inches long, super practical for cutting a rope in a hurry in order to save a life or to end one. Great for opening oysters. They always seem to get to your fingers. Yeah, it's not a folder though, it's fixed in a scabbard.
Okay.
Yep.
He'll grab it all.
All right.
Did you say this one had boots?
He has boots.
Okay, this one has boots.
Yeah.
And pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And socks. They're gross. The feet have swollen up inside of them. Dead skin and all that. Socks, not a pretty sight.
Okay.
Yeah.
While these two are investigating their respective dead bodies, Maeve would have gone back to the tree line and got more foliage and tried to firebolt her other hand.
Okay. Go ahead and give me an attack against yourself.
I got an 8.
An 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you blast the other piece of wood off of your other hand, and you do not seem to lose any fingernails or fingers or scald yourself in any particular way. You guys, just kind of over the waves and everything, you just hear like a... and you look back and you see some smoke rising and some splinters falling, just... in the sand around Maeve up at the tree line.
Got it! after Solana would have checked if they were still breathing or not, she would kneel by each one and say a little prayer, trying to fold her hands with the wood. trying to get into awkward. The prayer meditation and just say a prayer over each one.
All right.
Dacian would totally strip the other body, too.
Yeah, yeah. So the second person, mostly buried in the sand, is just a standard Navy seaman. So he's not of rank or anything like that. Okay. Probably just a kid who was either got drunk and thrown on the boats or, an orphan or just some nobody. And he's still got his boots on as well. They're smaller size. He looks, it's hard to tell. His face is pretty... messed up, but he looks younger, probably like 18, 19 years old, and he's wearing just a light jacket of a crewman with short sleeve. They only go up to the elbow, and it's got the high collar to keep the sun off of the neck. He has there was a gold earring in his ear. It is missing. And he has one of those same little belt knives in his back. He's got no satchels. He's got no pouches. For the people who man the sails and do the sailing, anything hanging off of you, anything like that, is quite risky for getting snagged. And snags are deaths on a boat. So they wear pretty Spartan plain clothing. Yep.
Okay.
Maeve is going to leave the tree line and go back to the water's edge, probably beyond where they found the body, and just start scouting for other things that might have washed ashore.
Okay. Yeah, you're looking up and down. You see some debris. So there is some wood. Some of it is kind of identifiable as like ship timber that has been destroyed and washed up. You can see kind of remnants of barrels, and that's about it. You know that anything that floats could float up any time, but most of the contents of the ship don't float. That's what ships are for, I think.
She'd be dragging any and all of it, like, up towards the tree line and making a little stack of her treasures.
I will say, digging through it, you come across a length of rope, probably 20 feet long, and part of it is cut on one end, the other looks old and frayed.
Sweet.
Yep, 20 feet hempen rope.
Cool.
The sun's coming up a little bit more now. It's almost a little bit cheery, but it's just, again, just annoyingly loud everywhere. Why doesn't everybody give me a perception check?
Why don't we? Oof. 1.
Oh.
13.
13.
One, 13, and 13? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You guys do not see anything of note, and you do not hear anything of note, except for there are some crabs scuttling up the beach further away.
Solana's gonna kind of go more towards the tree line to see if she can identify any type of food, like roots or nuts, or if there's fruit in the trees or anything like that.
Okay. Give me a survival check. Dacian, do you have something to say?
Did you mention that there's a helm?
No helmet.
Okay. Yeah, wreckage when we were walking. Okay, cool.
8.
An 8?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that you recognize. You don't see anything colorful. You don't see anything that looks seed-like, whatever, for a tree that might have meat, anything like that. You don't see any roots or mushrooms that look familiar. You do see some fungus here and there, mushrooms, but they don't look familiar. Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome to try them.
They're not colorful?
Well, they're kind of like a deep purple. Deep purple, like not royal purple. It's all earthy. It's an earth tone almost, with like pink little flecks on the underbelly and white shoots, but the white shoots are almost completely hidden as they stick and hold very close to the trees that they're on, presumably because those are the only ones that don't get blown off.
Okay. Well, she'll grab a leaf and pick it because she doesn't want to really touch it, and approach Maeve and be like, do you know if this is edible?
Maeve would be walking up to the tree line anyway, and she'd take a look at it and see what she knows.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so give me a nature check.
Good. Nature. 6.
6?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks meaty and tasty, and half of you thinks like, oh, I could lie and tell her it's edible. And then see what happens. But you have no idea.
I don't know. Looks tasty, but can't tell you if we'll die or not.
All right. She's going to go up to Daisy and be like, do you know if this is edible?
They look it over. Carefully, like he might know what he's doing, an answer. No clue.
Well, not worth the risk. She's going to go back and just kind of keep digging around.
Mm-hmm. There are insects everywhere.
Oh my gosh. It might take her a little longer before she will attempt to eat insects.
Okay.
Maeve would be scouting the tree line for anything that looks more like a path or in just a way that she could get more into the trees without crawling and just see a little bit further.
Ooh, yeah, not here. It is a wall.
Mm.
Yep. You can see where the roots hold, like the sand is probably 3-4 feet underneath this kind of bank created by the roots and kind of the rocks and soil that the trees are growing off of. And the sand washes up against them, and it's just a wall of jungle at this point.
Is there, if she walked down the shore a little farther, is there anywhere that might allude to, like, fresh water, like extra greenery or anything like that?
Looking around, everything looks very well kept, which would imply a lot of water keeps it alive. But you don't see or hear any fresh water immediately. It's got to be coming from somewhere, though. It can't rain all the time.
You said there was a barrel that washed up. How intact is this barrel? Like, pieces of barrel? Half a barrel?
Yeah, so it's pieces of barrel. Like, they're riveted kind of together on the top. It obviously wasn't designed to hold water. And it's got it kind of held together, mostly. It's missing a few planks here and there, and you can see one of the metal bands around the outside of it are missing.
Hmm. Well, it's still raining, right?
It is still raining. Okay. It's less rain now, more wind.
Okay. If we collected all this wreckage, we could probably take it over to the forest and find a spot that's sheltered by the wind, and maybe you could make a fire of some sort.
You almost read my mind, Dursian. Let's go.
He looks quizzically at her and shakes his head, thinking it's not worth it.
Dursian! Sure. You guys gonna take or attempt to make a fire?
Yeah, I'd probably leave the pile on the beach for now and start scouting into the woods to see if there was a clearing, a shelter, just kind of any likely spot.
Okay. Survival check. Give me a survival check.
Not doing great. Five.
Five?
Mm-hmm.
No, you make your way headfirst, almost on all fours, into the woods, and you're poking around, looking this way and that. You move along the tree line, and your knees are getting bruised up a little bit. You can stand here or there. There's nothing wonderful. There are little clearings here, that like knee-high clearings here and there, but it is just thick. Mm-hmm. It's doable. Like, you could, if you had like a sword or something, you could maybe bushwhack your way through this stuff. You just aim for the bushes and knock them down so that you can walk along. But there's no clearings. It is very dense. Everything is trying to outgrow and kill each other.
Maeve is going to step back and find like the most likely spot that she can. Like if anything next to a tree or any sort of larger structure, and she would hurl fireball at it. See if she can poof a clearing.
Like, so you want to just burn out some bushes?
Yep.
Yeah, so one fireball is not going to do it. One firebolt is not going to do it. But you can blast away for a while at some of the looser, leafier stuff and clear it out.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You just hear poof.
So it's kind of like a little pocket, a little dome in the woods.
Perfect. Little clouds of smoke rising with every shot. Like smoke signals.
Dacian would look at Solana and say, do you think she's in trouble, or is she playing with something?
I don't really want to know.
Maybe we'll head up, like, poke her head out of the jungle about that. Like, bring the wood, I've got a spot. And she'd also crawl out and start filling her arms with barrels and wood and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Sweet. Me. Let's go. And all he would load up.
Solana would jump in.
You guys probably have, like, I mean, there's 3-4 armloads of stuff if you go around and collect all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe more to come.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And is there any, like, rocks, or is it just roots and sand?
So there's kind of right where the beach hits the roots. You can tell there are some rocks. Looks like lava rock lava underneath. Rock. But you can't see any stones on the beach. It's all
stones.
Very sandy.
Okay.
Dacian would carry his load in and set it down and start hanging the clothes up to try to catch some of the fire that she's going to build and dry out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even set the hardtack near to dry out a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. And take one of the rocks that he had grabbed earlier to try to pummel the wood that's still attached to his arms to break it apart.
I guess if he can have rocks, you can have rocks.
He has rocks? Okay, yeah. Cool. That was my plan, too.
He said that, yeah.
Yeah, to try to bust it open with some rocks.
Sure.
Leverage.
He can have rocks. Try to bust open?
The spot, the things on my hands.
Oh, you
just want... trying to get some, leverage in there to see if I can split it open, whether it's with, rocks or branches, because she doesn't want any more firebolts.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rude.
Go ahead and so you're just going to sit down and work on those for a while and see if you can get them off.
Mm-hmm.
And you, rather than strength, you're going to try and use tools, leverage, and...
Yep.
All right, go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check.
Sure. 17?
17? Sure. So you actually focus on the bolt of the lock, and it's not a very new lock that you have. And you're sitting there checking that out, and you realize the little pins that keep the wood and the metal that the brackets are stuck to are not that strong at all. So you focus on just pulverizing the wood on that side of the shackles until you don't have to worry about the lock or anything, and it comes off, and then you're able to kind of pry your boards apart.
Nice, cool. Mm-hmm. She's going to be rubbing her wrists and shaking them about, bending them around.
Takes you, it's a tedious little task. It takes you about an hour and a half, two hours of plucking away to do that. And what are you doing?
Dacian's idea had been to just put his board down on the ground and use the bits of metal from the other, from the ones that
Maeve,
thank you, had broken to create wedges in the splintered areas and take his rock and start hammering. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. So with those, and maybe even go over and help Solana do that afterwards, go ahead and give me a slight hand check. We'll see how well you do it, how well it works out.
19.
19?
Yep.
Yeah, it works pretty efficiently, actually. At the end of the day, there wasn't that much keeping him on. It's just to slow you down.
Right.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So you knock him right off. What do you guys do?
Well, Maeve has been building a structure. She's been setting up a bunch of the driftwood kind of around a fire pit, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So stacking some wood in the middle, standing up some wood around the outside to kind of block the wind. She's tried to make a tent sort of structure over the top out of extra wood, and just made this weird little gnome house looking contraption under the tree.
Okay. It would be, I'm not sure how you're describing that, it would be very small. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of wood, forearm loads.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Just enough to protect the fire pit.
Yeah.
From the elements.
Of which there are no shortage of. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Solana would start mending any tears in her clothes. And then start collecting palm leaves and stuff and building up a pile of those.
Okay.
Try to create some form of a bed, maybe tying them together, seeing if she could prop them up for any type of some sort of shelter.
Survival check.
Nat 20.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 3.
You're able to do quite a bit with these, so you find out that the fingers of the palm fronds actually weave, and then you figure out that you can tear the palm into nice fibrous lengths, and you're oh, this is basically rope, and you start weaving them together, and you figure out with some, a good bit of work, you can come up with no end of sleeping mats, tarps, rudimentary, not comfortable, but high fashion clothing. With a little bit more practice, basket weaving could be possible, or a hat, It would just be you'd have to really get good at it.
Yeah, she'll just keep doing that if there's nothing else to do.
Sure. So starting, you said sleeping mats, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to upgrade a little bit from just laying on palm leaves with that role. Well, I'll say within an hour or so, you're able to come up with 3 pretty solid kind of squishy sleeping mats. And then you're moving on towards making a tarp for rain and shelter.
Yep.
And that's a bigger project, but you've done so much quick weaving. You're I could probably knock this out before night hits. Awesome. Yeah, might have something that you can kind of suspend from the trees and pull down and is strong enough to not get blown away. Yeah, behind the tree line. In your guys' little green cocoon in the forest.
With bark everywhere.
Yeah, just exploded. Yep.
Just explosion marks in the sand all the way around. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Yeah, everybody give me a perception check.
16.
18.
1.
1. Yeah, so Maeve, you're very focused.
Always.
Solana, you think you hear something, and you kind of stop what you're doing, and that gets Dacian's attention, and Dacian stops what he's doing, and he listens very carefully in the pounding wind, and the slight little just like of rain hitting everything, and you swear you just hear like this. And it just sounds like organic. It sounds guttural. Something guttural. Very, very distant.
Maeve has heard nothing, so she has lit her fire. Mm-hmm. And she has picked up some of the palm fronds that Solana was weaving, and she's trying her hand at weaving as well. Mm-hmm. Very focused.
Dacian would look at over at Solana and ask, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
What?
That doesn't sound friendly.
Mm-mm.
Sound what?
I don't know what it is, but it doesn't sound good.
Hmm.
Something
different.
Roaring in the distance? I don't know. Something like that. And he would look for a couple of longer, straight branches and start to attempt to shape himself a spear.
Yeah, so there's like, as far as the kind of greenery,
mm-hmm.
there's these thick, thick, thick wooden trees with fronds at the top, palm fronds at the top, you know?
Mm. Okay.
There's not twigs, there's not really branches. I'm not saying you can't do it, but it would really take some doing.
Okay.
Yeah, and finding just the right stuff to do it with, too. You think maybe your best bet, your first thought would be you could burn one of these big trees, maybe. Take some doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you could find a smaller one, you know, you could burn it down and then maybe up towards the top where it's narrower, you could like burn and scrape it into a blunt instrument or maybe like with a lot of refined time and careful work into a spear. By burning and kind of scraping, you know. But it would be like a daunting little project.
Have we already burned all the wood that we gathered? Or is it in the fire, or is there some still next to it?
So she got the fire going, but it's not like roaring.
Okay.
And there's some left. She used about one of the four arm loads.
Okay.
So far, just to get it going.
Then Dacian would probably grab one of the barrel staves, I guess. One of the uprights for the barrel.
Yeah.
Or a couple of them. And have Solana help him fasten them together. And maybe put one of his rocks in between and fasten that onto it to create like a club.
Okay, so you want to take the two, sandwich them together with a rock in the middle, tied, like with the rope you guys found, so that you got a heavy, heavy club with kind of a handle.
Yeah.
Something you can two-fist anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. So, who's doing the majority of the work?
I'm making a tarp, mostly.
So I guess Dacian is.
Right. And is anybody helping with that?
He would try to enlist Solana's help, but she seems to be busy, so he would try to enlist Maeve's.
Yeah, Maeve would help. She'd try to multitask and weave her own things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If she had to focus, she'd choose to help Dulcian.
Okay. So you can roll with advantage.
Okay.
This would be a survival check.
Okay.
She's 80. Ooh. Gonna need that advantage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Much better.
15.
Okay. yeah, it takes some doing. You kind of keep the rope up towards the top and use as little as you can. Mm-hmm. I'll say like you cut probably a 5 foot length of the rope, mm-hmm. and just unwind part of it. So you're using it like string from mm-hmm. it, or like a smaller cord than the whole rope itself. Because suddenly these very base mundane things become precious items on a situation like this. And mm-hmm. you twist it out and fasten it very, very tightly and carefully knotted, each knot reinforcing and tightening down on the one behind it, with like layers of hitches. And then you've got this thing. You could two-fist it.
Sweet.
It'd be a little hard on your wrists and your hands hitting something with it, but not as hard as whatever you hit. Yeah.
Sweet. Get himself a weapon.
Yeah, so I would say this is a club.
Okay.
Maeve's going to look at him. I like the look of that. And she's going to try to make one of her own.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a survival check.
Nat 20.
Oh, yeah.
So 23.
Yep. You pull this off. You get another one of his rocks, and you get one that's kind of a little longer. So it sticks out both sides, kind of like a hammer almost.
Mm-hmm. Like a hammer.
Like a hammer. Yep. And you tie it on and lash it over the top so that you're not worried about it flying out the end. And it seems like shifts just a tiny bit when you reef on it, but it'll pop something really good, no problem. And I'll say that is essentially you created a not overly practical, not a two-handed, not a great hammer, but you have a hammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maeve's going to practice it and like throw it up and down and be like, ooh, feels good to get my hands on one of these. I don't know if I ever told you, but back in the day, I used to be quite proficient with a certain set of instruments. And then she's going to go into a story that you may or may not listen to.
Yeah, clarinet. Maeve strikes me as a clarinet person.
All right. A bagpipe.
Bagpipe. A bagpipe of clarinets.
Oofta. That's not fun.
All right, so now with a home fort with two weapons, two knives, a fire going, with daylight and some clothing drying out, with a tarp on and bed mats on this strange island, and with a mysterious noise billowing in the air, that is where we will call episode one of our little side venture. Yep. Which I'm going to call Shipwrecked.
Sweet.
Shipwrecked, episode one. Writing it down.
Castaways.
That'll be episode two.
Wilson. Okay. All right.
Thanks for joining us in tonight's adventure. Tune in every Tuesday and just Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Alaskan Standard Time. And we will see you later.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Bye.
Toodles.
Wacy. Playing Dacian, oh, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, Anna. See you guys next week.
Beta playing Solana.
We haven't recorded in a couple of weeks. Our lives have been full of life for a couple weeks in a row here. Probably some of you noticed, like two of you noticed, that there was a gap for the first time ever in our episode releases. And I'm a little sorry, but also we're still having fun doing what we do, and you're still listening, so I hope that it wasn't too big of an interruption. My name is Colton, I've been the DM, and we will catch you next week.
Bye.
Toodles.
See you guys later. Keep a check on the ice.